You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call 314-472-DOUG. 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. I want to welcome back to the air. We have Liz Henderson and Paula Exarhu from Coldwell Banker Gundaker in the Chesterfield Wildwood office. And ladies, you are our resident experts on villas, condos, townhomes, and everything involving them. You've sold tons of them, and you seem to know all the ins and outs that people need to know to keep them protected. And one thing I led into going into break that I saw recently, and I learned a lot about it, is the term condotel. Okay, it's a condo hotel. And here's the deal with those. Okay, so you cannot get a residential loan, so a conventional loan through Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or FHA, or VA on what they call a condotel. And here's the difference with it is, so it doesn't look necessarily much different than a regular condo. What differentiates it is that if the project is managed and operated as a hotel or a motel, then it's automatically kicked out. If it includes the name hotel or motel in the name at all, it's not insurable. It cannot be sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. It's kicked out. So also, if there's a registration service and it offers rentals on a daily basis, that's a condotel. Okay, and if they restrict the owner's ability to occupy the unit ever, that's also a condotel. So these are fairly common in resort areas like Branson and Lake of the Ozarks. And I was actually trying to refinance a condo for somebody down at Branson. Got pretty far into the process before they returned the condo cert, and when they returned the condo cert to us, it was a condotel. Uh-huh. And they were not eligible, even though they had an existing Fannie Mae loan, or actually it was a Freddie Mac loan in this case. They could not refinance it into another Freddie Mac loan because it's a condotel. And I think they changed the use of the property from the time that people bought it. And a lot of times people will want to start trying to offset their payment. Sounds like a great idea. They want to bring in some extra rent while they're not there. But when they do that, I mean, Lake of the Ozarks is famous for that. People rent out their condos for the weekends.
Right.
You know, they rent them on a daily basis. And that can automatically kick them out of conventional financing. So something people need to be aware of as they're getting ready to buy a place.
Absolutely.
So, Paula, you started to talk earlier about resale certificates. Okay, and when we get into some of the details of what people need to know if they're selling a condo or villa, or if they're getting ready to buy one, let's walk through the process and some of the differences in the legalities with this and some of the differences in paperwork. What are some of the main things that you think people need to know, Paula?
Okay, I think the main thing that people need to know is when we take a listing, the seller signs a form that indicates that the buyer will be given a resale certificate in a timely manner. And within 5 days from the date of acceptance, we must order that resale certificate. And this resale certificate will list all the financials of that particular subdivision so that this buyer can see what the reserves are, what they're going for, how much it costs to cut the grass, everything that is necessary for them to know.
And it's typically the financial health of the homeowners association, and it gives a buyer a good picture of that. And if you're going to purchase a condo, it is Missouri law. It's a statute 448 that says that you must receive the resale certificate. But if you are buying a villa, it's different. It is not a law. We as agents always ask for the resale certificate because we believe our clients should know what the financial health is of the association. How much money do they have in reserves for future projects? You know, where's the money going? You're spending $100 to $1,500 a month on HOA fees. You want to know how that money is being spent and if it is being spent in the correct way. So that's really important for us.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk more in the next segment actually about some of the specifics of how that affects the loan that people get. But it's interesting to know that difference between condos and villas, because if they're required by law to give it with condos, then it's probably automatically going to happen by default. But with the villa, if your agent doesn't represent you well and they don't do a lot of these, they won't know to ask for it.
Correct. And it's so important. And if you're buying a villa, you know, it's important to use an experienced agent that will get you that resale certificate so that you have a good picture of what is happening with the Homeowners Association.
When we take that, you know, we take that certificate, and you know, once they fill out the condo questionnaire or the plan unit development questionnaire, and we analyze those very closely on the lending side, and I'll definitely get into more of the details of that. But I think it's also, you know, with the seller disclosure statement, where are the seller disclosure statements different on condos and villas versus a normal single family residence?
I believe that they are the same on the seller's disclosure. Am I right?
Yes.
They are exactly the same, and this is where
it's the same form.
A homeowner's fee should be listed and any special assessments that are going to be due and payable and when.
Right. It's the same form, but obviously in a single family, you're probably just going to have one fee that you pay a yearly. Whereas in a villa or a condo, it's going to be a monthly fee, and it should tell you what exactly is covered. You know, entrance signs, insurance, snow removal, trash, sewer, water for common areas, sprinkler systems, that kind of thing. It will tell you exactly what is covered and if there are assessments due.
Well, and it's important not only on qualifying for the loan, but on for budgeting purposes before you buy a place.
Absolutely.
I'll kind of equate this to people don't check the utilities when they go buy a new place, and then buy a new
yes.
house. And the utilities can vary so dramatically from one place to another, and that's a big part of your budget. You need to know what the energy efficiency is of units and know what you're going to spend. Well, assessments are the same way. What's included in it, because if sewer, water, trash, if all those are included, you know that can come out of your budget.
Right.
And the fees may be a little bit higher, but it's because those things are included and you're not having to pay for it separately. And that's okay in those cases.
Yeah. And also, if you're thinking about leasing a condo or a villa, make sure you know if the HOA fees are included in your lease price. Because a lot of people are surprised. They think they're leasing a place for $1,000, but there's a $250 HOA fee that is not included. So they are surprised when their mortgage, their lease amount is actually $1,250. So know that.
Okay, so when we've talked about a lot of the advantages with the lifestyle advantages of owning one of these units, okay, what about, I think it wouldn't be responsible of us to not cover the disadvantages of it, and I don't want to dwell on that too much, although I think some of these are fairly important points. What are some of the disadvantages that you ladies can think of?
I think a lot of us are pet owners, so if you're going to consider buying a condo or a villa, really make sure that your agent gets you the bylaws and the rules and regulations. Because if you love your two or three dogs, a certain complex might not allow two or three dogs. They might only allow one dog. They might only allow dogs that are under 40 pounds.
Right. They may not want your pit bull.
They don't want you. Yeah. They might not want your Great Dane.
Great Dane, yeah.
You may not be able to have two dogs and two cats. You know, what can you have? What are the rules? Know that going in. So, bylaws and indentures are very, very important.
And that could be a minus or a plus.
Right.
It's a plus in the sense that it protects the association and keeps it nice.
Absolutely.
And you may not want the elephant size dung in the yard from the Great Dane. They may protect you against that, or you may not want the dog that barks super loud.
Doug, may I add that in some subdivisions, you have to have a form signed and it has to be notarized that you will pick up the doggy do, and you can't close without that being signed before closing.
Yeah. So and another
serious about it, and they very well should be.
Yeah, and because we're talking about close proximity living, and everybody has a standard by which they want to live, and for the Homeowners Association, it's very important that the community look very uniform and everybody's home look beautiful because they want to keep the property values up.
Right.
So there are
elephant
reasons for regulations, right?
Some others that I think there's some risks associated with it in the last 5 years when the economic downturn hit, condos and villas were hit pretty hard on pricing. Okay, and that's that can be a disadvantage with the risk. It also can turn into an advantage that I'll talk about in a minute, but so what are some of the risks of the association itself? There's a risk of lawsuits, okay, that they definitely can get sued by some of their own owners sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If they're delinquent HOA fees, okay, that can be a big deal because now there may not be enough money to actually do the improvements or continue the maintenance if it gets in bad enough shape. If they lose their FHA approval, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I see that as something that can be a kiss of death You know, and it can turn a condo complex into an apartment complex very quickly, unfortunately. And then if it becomes non-warrantable, okay, non-warrantable means that it can't be sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. To me, that can be a disadvantage when that happens. Now, that happened in some of the lower-end areas. The nicer areas, that didn't really happen. It didn't really – you didn't see it in Chesterfield. You didn't see it in Ladue. You didn't see it in Town and Country. It was really – you saw it in North County some. Some complexes there had some issues. Mm-hmm. Some in St. Charles had some issues. Some were just fine, though. And I also see this as turning into an opportunity because prices have gone down in that area, you can probably get a lot more for your money. Would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes, and there's so much for sale in areas like St. Peter's. You can get a brand new condominium in St. Peter's right now for an amazing price. So. And there are several areas in St. Louis right now that are selling a lot of condos and villas, but they also have a lot of inventory. So that's a great opportunity for buyers.
Well, I love it. So it's a great topic. We're speaking with Liz Henderson and Paula Exarhu from Coldwell Banker Gundaker as a resident experts on condos, villas, and townhomes. So I'll ask the question, if you want to buy a villa or a condo, do you have to worry about the type of loan that you can get? The answer to that may surprise you. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.